Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Short family. And Timmy. Anybody that has not quoted Psalm 19, like to come and quote it tonight? Psalm 19. I can't do it, preacher. Well, my grandmother used to tell me, can't never could. How many of you have heard that? Amen. Amen. Anyone? Psalm 19? We got, okay, come on, Wyatt. Come on. You come right on up here. I know why I can do it, because he did it while we were away. Amen. You come on, young man. Stand strong, brother.
Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is to the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, enlightening the eyes. No. Rejoice in the heart. The commandment of the Lord is sure, enlightening the eyes. No, it's pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen. 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 Good job, Wyatt. Amen. That's good stuff. Anyone else? Psalm 19? Anyone? What about John 1, 1 through 18? Anyone have that? Want to come? Brother Greg, come on. Now, I think this is the verses that the Academy's working on. So, y'all be ready. I might call some of you from the floor here after Brother Greg. Come on, Brother Greg.
Amen. John 1, 1 through 18, the Bible says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him.
Amen. Good stuff. Amen. It's good, Brother Greg. Amen. Who else? Anyone else? Young, old, whole, lame? Anyone? Oh, come on. Yeah, amen. Come on, Talia. I'm sorry. I didn't see your hand back there. Come on, young lady. Come on.
John 1:1-18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him.
Good job. Good job, Talia.
Amen.
Good job.
Amen.
That's a blessing.
Amen.
Who else? Anyone? Just give you an opportunity to quote John 1:1-18. Anyone before we move on? Some of you's thinking about it, I can tell. Okay. Well, how many of you are working on John 1:1-18? Raise your hand. All right. A few people working on it. All right. That's good. Keep working on it. How many's working on another passage of Scripture? Raise your hand. Just, okay.
Amen.
Amen. Memorizing Scripture is a good thing to do.
Amen.
It just is. You never know how God's going to give you opportunity to use it. Not only works in your heart and life, but it enables you to approach people, to help people, to witness to people, and it can be a help to others as well. So let me encourage you, continue to memorize that Scripture. Hide God's Word in your heart that you might not sin against Him. It's a wonderful thing.
Yes.
Listen, it's work now, okay?
Amen.
So that... You say, well, why do people clap when people memorize Scripture? You ever memorize any Scripture?
Amen.
It's work. But can I tell you, it's a good work.
Amen.
It's a rewarding work. It'll help you. You going to come on, brother?
Yeah.
I knew if I talked long enough.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. Yeah, let me go ahead. Let me mark that part where I rebuke you off here. I was going to. I knew Pastor Brandon. He quoted it when we were away. Come on, Pastor
Amen.
Brandon.
Kind of hard to expect your students to come up here if you don't do it yourself, amen? John 1:1-18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him.
Amen. That's good.
Amen.
That's good. Anyone else? Anyone? You got a passage of scripture you'd like to share with us by memory? Anyone? Just a passage that God's impressed upon your heart? Say, you know what? God impressed this on my heart and I memorized it for His glory. This is not about showing people off. I want you to know that. It's not. It's just about magnifying the Lord.
Amen.
People putting in work. That's what it is. For the Lord. It's for the Lord. It helps control your thought life. Kind of rein some things in, doesn't it? Just rein some things in. All right. Sure? All right. Yes, sir. Come on, Sister Barbara. Amen. God bless you.
You can do it, Sister Barbara.
I'm going to try to do Psalms 19.
Amen.
The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the earth. In Him, see, I get before people and I can't do it.
Okay.
I can say it to Terry.
That's okay. Let's do this.
See, instead of me up here just saying stuff, that's going to distract you. I did that to Wyatt, and I'm surprised I didn't distract him. But let's do this. Let's just, sometimes you have to look down, and we'll do this. And see, I think you know it.
I do.
I know you do, or you wouldn't come up here. I know you're that kind of lady. You wouldn't chance that.
Okay. We'll start over. Psalms 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is as his going forth is unto the end of the earth. End of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. There is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The commandment of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, enduring the heart. I don't want to keep looking down. I'm
okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
I can say it.
Okay.
In front of people, I can't do it. I'm so sorry.
Don't be sorry.
Amen.
That day.
It's good.
Yeah, well, it is. It's kind of nerve-wracking. It is.
Yeah. Right.
You quizzed in the Bible quiz, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah. That's nerve-wracking too, isn't it? it's just you get nervous. And but that's, you know, that's why this is not a competition. This is not to see who knows more than the other one. It's just saying, listen, I'm hiding God's word in my heart for His glory.
Amen.
And for His honor. God's word means that much to me. I want to hide it in my heart. Because I don't want to sin against Him. I want Him to be on my heart and my thoughts, my mind, all day, every day. I want to think of God continually. And hiding God's word in my heart, as it does in your heart, it helps us to do that. Otherwise, we might find our minds and our thoughts on things and in areas that they shouldn't be. And so we ask God to help us. Anyone else? Anyone? I know it's a little intimidating when it is, and it's not just up here. It's just you before people, and you just, your mind races 100 miles an hour. It does. Anyone? All right. You have your Bible open to the 13th chapter of 1 Samuel. Tell you what I'd like to do. The Lord willing, I'm going to just kind of give a snapshot of David's life tonight. David's one of my favorite Bible characters. And been doing some studying in 1 and 2 Samuel, Kings, Chronicles. And there's just some things. David's life is just, it's such a teaching life. It's a life that when we look at his life, there's just so many examples. There's so much to learn from his life. And so I just want to reach in over the next few weeks. We'll see how much God wants me to share with you. Tonight, as I said, I just want to give you an overview of this man's life, of David. It probably won't be anything you haven't heard before, but it'll just maybe remind us of some things. What a great man David was. 600 times is his name mentioned in the Old Testament. Did you get that? 600 times. 60 times in the New Testament. As a matter of fact, the book of the Revelation, David is mentioned in the last chapter, you know, of the last book of the Bible. God is going to set up the kingdom of his son in the place of King David. He is. As a matter of fact, we may get to that part tonight where God is going to establish the kingdom of Jesus after the throne of David. And he is going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And we who are saved will enter into that kingdom known as the millennial reign, the millennial kingdom, a 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus. We will enter into that reign with King Jesus for 1,000 years. That'll be after the rapture takes place. That'll be after the tribulation. That'll be a time when there will be peace upon this earth, for the Prince of Peace himself will set up his reign here upon this earth. And he will rule, and he will rule with a rod of iron. He will. And at the end of that 1,000 years, you would think that people would say, this is the way I want it. This is the greatest thing ever. But the Bible says that Satan will be loosed, for he will be in a bottomless pit for that 1,000 years, and he will be loosed after that 1,000 years. And he will gather from the four corners of the earth, the Bible says, a number that no man can number, as of the sand of the sea. And he will gather them together to do battle against God. And he will be utterly destroyed and defeated. And he will be cast alive, the Bible says, into the bottomless pit where the beast and the false prophet are. Now that's going to be his end, brethren. That's the way the story ends when it comes to the devil. And so you say, well, I want to be on that side. Well, that's the losing side. You're on the wrong side of the pendulum there. Now listen to me. The devil's a liar and a deceiver. And he has many people believing a lot of things that are just not so. And the Bible sets the record straight. I want to talk to you about this man David a little bit. I think there's some great life lessons. Now, young folks, listen, I really want you to pay attention to everything I say tonight, but in particular, the first few points that I'm going to bring to your attention, because there was a time in David's life when, and I've kind of broken this down into, there were what's called the waiting years. See, a lot of people don't understand that when God sent Samuel to the house of Jesse, and when he evaluated his sons, and realized, the man's not here. And he said, do you have yet any more? And he said, well, I have one. You know the story. And he brought David. A lot of people think, well, you know, David became king then. Well, he was anointed by Samuel secretly. But David did not become king at that time. He was anointed king by Samuel. But he didn't become king until later, as we shall see. The scripture says when he became king. At Saul's death, he was anointed king over Judah for 7.5 years. And then he was eventually, after that 7.5 years, he was anointed the king for the third time. And this time is when he became king over all of Israel and Judah. And he reigned for 30 years. 33 years, and then 7 years he reigned over Judah alone, 33 years over Israel and Judah, 40-year reign, King David. Now, before he began the reign, though, I want to share this with you, and I want you to follow along with me. There was a waiting period, and then there was a working period, and then there was a waning period. We're going to talk about that, all right? The waiting period. This is the hardest thing to do, is to wait. A lot of people, in the waiting period, they do very little to nothing. And this is the lesson I want us to learn from God's Word. When God has us waiting, that doesn't mean do nothing. It means prepare for when the opportunity comes. And that's exactly what David did. David encountered a lot in his life during his waiting years. And I want us to look at those, okay? Now, turn, if you would, to chapter 16. The scripture that Pastor, 1 Samuel chapter 16, the scripture that Pastor Brandon read to you was, you know the story how that Saul had gone against the word of God. He had gone against Samuel, God's prophet, God's man. And King Saul did what God told him not to do. And God said, listen, I can't use someone like you. I need a man that's going to follow my orders. I need a man that's going to follow my commandment. Do what I say do, and not what they want to do. Can I tell you, God's still looking for people like that. I think there's something in all of us that if we're not careful, we'll have this mindset, well, as long as I just kind of do it kind of like God said. No, God wants us to do exactly what he said, how he said, when he said. God's looking for a man like that. God's looking for a man after his own heart, a man that'll do it the way he said do it, with the compassion and the consistency that God said do it. And so Samuel told Saul, he said, not going to work for you. God's not going to use you. God's looking for a man. He said, I found a man after my own heart, David. Now, he sent Samuel to confirm that. In chapter 16, if you'll turn there, in chapter 16, the scripture says in verse number 13 of chapter 16 that Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Now, the story here, of course, is when Samuel had gone to the house of Jesse, and he was looking, and he looked at his brothers of Jesse's sons. He looked at David's brothers, and he said, none of these men are the men. And he said, do you have any more? And he said, well, you know, I've got, back in verse number 11, there remaineth yet the youngest, he said, right there. Do you see that? He said, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. I have that highlighted in my Bible. He keepeth the sheep, you know? Just some insignificant, he's just kind of a sheep herder. He's not really a man of war. He's not really a man of means. He's just kind of keeping the sheep, you know? And sometimes when you look at folks and you say, well, you know, they're not really up to much. They're not going to really amount to anything. That's the person God's going to use the most. Isn't it amazing how God can do that? Did you know that David took his job serious? Now, here's something that if you don't get anything else, whatever God gives you to do, as a matter of fact, David was mocked for this. You remember when he carried the bread and the cheese up to the armies, and his brother said, you know, what are you doing here? You know, what about them sheep you got? Who's keeping them? Who'd you leave them with? Making fun, mocking him. They were being disdainful toward him because they said, you know, that's nothing. You don't belong up here. You don't have what it takes. And there'll be people think that about you. Maybe God will give you something to do. And you'll think, well, that's so small and insignificant. But can I tell you that if you'll be faithful in the small things, God will make you ruler over big things. That's God's way, brethren. See, God will test you with a few sheep. Amen. And God tests us with a few things to see if he can trust us with many things. So here was David in the youth of his life. And God said, we're going to put David to the test. We're going to teach him some things about how to wait on me. And God will have every one of us that in time in our life, there's a window of time in all of our life that's a waiting window. When God will say, I'm going to see how you wait. You've got to learn to wait on the Lord. That's right. Sometimes people have really messed up in their life by running ahead of the Lord. And so I want to encourage you now, you wait on the Lord. Don't you run ahead of the Lord. You'll mess your life up. Now, fortunately, some folks can get their life back on track when they run ahead of the Lord and mess up. But there's been some folks that it didn't work out that way. And so I really want to encourage you. You wait on the Lord. Let's look at this just for a moment. Let's follow this. Back in verse number 11, God had gave David a few sheep to keep. And then Samuel looked on him. And when he did, he said, "This is the man." And in verse number 13, Samuel took a horn of oil and anointed him king. Now, what do you think David did? You think David said, "Dad, through with this sheep herding business, I'm king now. You know, I'm going to take my rightful place and I'm going to call the shots." Well, look down, if you would, just for a moment. In verse number 19, "Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David thy son." Look at this next phrase, "which is with the sheep." Oh, David done gone back with the sheep. See, he didn't let what God was doing in his life get to his head. He was waiting on God to open doors of opportunity. He was waiting on God to thrust him into that place that God had him. And this is just so important in life, isn't it, brethren? Now, some of us have been down the road a little bit. We understand this process. We need to teach it to the next generation. There's just a time you wait on the Lord. Just because God has something for you doesn't mean you're going to get there tomorrow. There's a time to wait. There's a time that God wants to teach you some things, some responsibility, some consistency, how to be faithful. Look again, if you would, over in verse number 15 of chapter 17. By this time, David has gone to the camp and he's met with the leaders there. We know about Goliath. And verse number 15 says, "But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem." See, he's still taking care of that duty. See, that was his duty. This man had been anointed to be the king. Samuel, the prophet, the man of God, had anointed him with the horn of oil. And yet, he had a responsibility, and he wasn't going to shirk that responsibility until God gave him the green light to do so. As a matter of fact, you can follow it all the way through. Look at verse number 20 of chapter 17. "And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper." See, that's responsibility. That's taking care of the duty that God's given you. You say, "Preacher, that's just a small thing." I'm telling you, that's what God does in our lives. God's not going to put you at the top rung of the ladder starting out. God's going to start you out at the bottom. He's going to see what you're made of. He's not going to put a lot of things into your care and under your responsibility until you prove yourself that you can be faithful and consistent and responsible. Right, brethren? Yes. And so this is something that as I look at David's life, I just think, yeah, that's wonderful. Look at verse 22. "And David left his carriage." I'm in chapter 17 in verse number 22. It says, "And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage." Responsible. Careful. Taking care of his duties. Look at verse chapter 17, verse number 28. This is where he was being mauled. And, you know, they said, "Why camest down," right in the middle of that verse, "why camest down, thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness?" You know. Verse number 34, chapter 17. "And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep." But while he was doing that, David said, "God taught me some lessons. He was preparing me for something. And I didn't know it was for such a time as this. But now that I look back on what God was doing in my life, I see where God was leading me. And God has put me here for such a time as this. While I was keeping those sheep," look at verse number 34. He said, "David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him." He said, "I took care of business." He said, "God taught me how to take care of some business when I was taking care of those small duties. But I didn't know that God was doing that, preparing me for a time in the future that would come. And now here's a prepared young man," you see. So when David's waiting, when we're waiting, it doesn't mean we just sit by idly and wait for the next open door. It means that whatever responsibility and duties that God has given us, we remain faithful to them. Amen. And we do them to the best of our ability. We do them skillfully. We do them faithfully unto the Lord. Realizing that when God gives us that opportunity, now we're prepared. It's the same thing with this playing. Look, if you would. Let me find the scripture here. Look, I think it's in, I think it's here in verse number, is it chapter 17? It might be 16. Let's see here. Chapter 16, verse 17. So here's David. He's keeping the sheep. He's waiting. People thought that was insignificant. They thought that means nothing. But what God was doing was preparing him for the big stage. Amen. He was. And God was preparing him for something big. I mean, it was something big that people still talking about it. Are you listening to me? Hundreds, thousands of years later, we're still talking about it. This little fella that kept the sheep, God was preparing him for such a stage that you can't even have a ball game these days without saying this is a David versus Goliath game. I mean, there's people still talking about this event. God prepared this young man for the big stage in a big way. And David didn't realize it when he was getting prepared for it. But he was faithful, you see. He was faithful with those small things. And so when the time came for him to step out on the big stage, he said, "Where's he at? Let me at him, amen." Right? He didn't shy away from it and say, "Well, I can't do that. I better not. You know, I just don't know if I can get it done." Listen, God had prepared this young man. God had instilled in him confidence and boldness. And David said, "The Lord's going to take care of this giant." How do you know, David? He said, "Because when I was keeping those sheep, I ran into situations and God empowered me to take care of the lions and the bears, and God will help take care of this Philistine too." You see, so while you're waiting, don't think that God can't teach you some things and God can't enable you and prepare you for the big stage. You say, "Well, you know, preacher, I'm ready for it now." No, if you're ready for it, God set you on it. He's still teaching. Just keep learning, keep listening, keep gleaning, you see. God has something for you. So, well, preacher, I'm wondering if God ever has anything for me. If you're saved in the grace of God, God has something for you. And there are no little things in God's work. So whatever God has for you is of great significance. Just because you're in those waiting years doesn't mean that you just sit by idly and do nothing. You take advantage of the opportunities. It may be sweeping a floor. I don't know. I don't know what God may have for you. It may be something that back in this day was the equivalent of keeping sheep. And it may not seem like a very big thing. But in that small thing, God could be teaching you some valuable lessons for the big things that he has for you in the future. It's the same with the music. So here's David. He's outside the kingdom. He's at the house of his father. He's on the backside of a field keeping the sheep. And God said, "I've got a plan." See, God's in the background, orchestrating all of this, brethren. Are you listening? So David's out on the hillside, and he picks up a harp. He starts playing and writing songs. And people say, "Well, you know, what in the world's a man? Who's going to want a man with a harp, you know, writing songs? What good is that going to do anyone?" Well, I don't know. Let's see. You'd be surprised what God can do with a little. You'd be surprised what God can do with things that your friends might laugh at. Right? They might jerk your chain and call you names because of something God has you doing. But that's all right, because God's got big plans for you. And so there was a king who was having some problems with evil spirits. And in chapter number 16 and verse number 17, Saul said unto his servants, "Provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me." The king, the highest man in the land, all right, said, "I need somebody that can play." Well, then answering in verse number 18, one of the servants said, "Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing and a mighty, valiant man, a man of war and prudent in matters and a comely person, and the Lord is with him." Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, "Send me David, thy son, which is with the sheep." And Jesse took an ass laden of bread, you know, and he sent him. And Saul stood before him. In verse number 21, David came to Saul and stood before him. And he loved him greatly and became his arm bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, "Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight." And it came to pass, verse 23, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. See how God used David? How God opened doors of opportunity because he was willing to prepare himself? There were probably people who thought, hey, what in the world is a young teenage boy? And that's what age people say that David was around this time frame in his life. What in the world is a teenage boy want to do walking around with a harp? Playing a harp. Well, I don't know. God may put you before kings. Great leaders. If you just prepare yourself. You know, when you hide God's word in your heart, Talia, that was great, young lady. That was great, Wyatt. That's great. Young folks, listen, when you hide God's word in your heart, when you pick up an instrument and you'll put yourself, you apply yourself to the task, when you'll accept responsibility, when you understand that life is not a game, when you understand that there's a time and a place for everything under heaven, that it's not all about fun, there's responsibility, there's duty to life, God can use your life. Understand that it's not, you know, well, I'm going to wait till I get, you know, 25 or married with children, then I'm going to do something. Now's the time to prepare. During this phase and time of your life, God wants to prepare you for the next phase that he has for you, that he's going to put you in. And that's what's happening here. So we have this time, the waiting years. I want to give you a few things. Number one, God built character in David's life. Write these words down. Character. He built character. I see over and over again, I already showed you where David kept the sheep, where David went before the king. God built character in his life. David was not the kind of guy that you could give a responsibility and then have to twiddle, you know, just wring your hands wondering, I wonder if he's going to get it done. I wonder if he's going to get it done. I believe David was the kind of guy you could give a responsibility to and walk away and never think about it again and know that job's going to get done. He was that kind of guy. You be that kind of guy. You be that kind of gal. Amen. You want to go places in life? Be dependable. Be dependable. Be reliable. Finish what you start. Don't start quitting stuff. Don't bail out and fall out. Hey, preacher, it gets hard. It does get hard. That's when you work harder. Amen. Don't you be a quitter. God doesn't use quitters, brethren. Hear me, young folks. Hear me. God doesn't use quitters. The world may use quitters, but God doesn't use quitters. God's looking for some young people that will stick to the task, amen, that will prepare themselves and get the job done. God said, I'll put you before kings. He will. Say, can God do that with me, preacher? You better believe he can. He will too. God will use your life in a mighty way. David was a man of character, a young man of character. And God put him in high places in front of very important people in very important times. Number two, he was a man of courage. See, God, this is still the waiting time. David was at his father's house, and his father sent him up. You know the story in chapter 17, right? You can't hardly think about David without thinking of Goliath. And his father sent him up. Why? Because he said, I've got a little task for you to do. Didn't seem like a very big task. He just said, I want to send you up with a few rationings. I want to send you up, you know, to help the armies up there, to feed them a little bit. And lo and behold, God had greater things in store. His father thought he was just going to send him up with, some food. But God said, no, I've got something greater for David to do. It's time for me to put my servant on the stage. Amen. It's time for me to prove his worth. It's time for me to show the courage that I've instilled in this young man. And you know the story, how that David, when he saw that, he thought, whoa, wait a minute, is there not a cause? What's going on here? Right? What do you mean letting this big, this big giant, what are you letting this big giant talk to you that way for? No, we're not going to have this. He said, God's going to take care of you, big boy. And God did too, didn't he? God took care of him, brethren. See, David had learned, I can depend on the Lord. See, when you're waiting, it's a good time for you to learn who's really in charge of your life. It's not you. And if you'll let God, he'll show you while you're waiting on him. He'll show you, I will be in charge of your life if you'll let me be. I'll fight your battles for you if you'll let me. But now, as long as you're pushing up your sleeves and balling up your fist and ready to roll, now God won't, listen, he'll let you fight your fights. But if you'll get out of the way and say, listen, I come in the name of the Lord God of Israel, and the battle is the Lord's, God will empower you to do things far beyond what you can do in yourself. And so he gave him character. And David exhibited character. We're still talking about the waiting years, brethren. This is David, he's still waiting. And God is building character in his life. He's building courage in his life. He put him in the court of the king. We just saw that. The king said, listen, I need somebody. Somebody said, you know what? He said, there's this guy. I mean, you know, he keeps sheep, but I tell you, there's something special about this guy. He's a valiant man. And the Lord's with him, right? He ended up in the court of the king. And so much so to where if you read this, Saul told Jesse, he said, just let David stay with me. I like this kid. I think he can help us. Then he built conduct. Look, if you would, in chapter 18. This is going to happen to you, young folks, one way or the other. So I pray that you'll follow this. If it hasn't already happened to you, now it's going to happen to you. So please follow this. In chapter 18, the scripture says, when David got into the king and into the palace, it came to pass in chapter 18, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. I wish I had time, and I may do this when we get a little deeper in this, to preach a whole message on the importance of friends. I tell you right now, oh, David and Jonathan, they had a friendship like no other, didn't they? Listen, the Bible says that God knit their souls together, and he loved him with his own soul. Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Speaking of David, look at verse 3. And Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. Can I tell you, if you've got a friend now, please listen to me. If you have a friend, I mean a real friend. I'm not talking about an acquaintance. I'm not talking about some Facebook buddy. I mean a real friend that'll love you as their own soul, that their soul is knit with yours. You have a precious commodity. You thank God for a good friend now. Real friends are hard to come by, and we ought to thank God for our friends. And here was a man that said, I'm just waiting on you. I just want to do your will. And God said, I'm going to do some good things for you. Gave him a friend for life. For life. Right there in the king's court, brethren. The king's own son. What a wonderful, not only what a wonderful truth, but what a wonderful picture. You know, what a wonderful picture. Then if you look down in verse number 5, and David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. David didn't let this stuff go to his head. I want to show you some things here about this. David behaved himself wisely. There'll come a day in your life, young men, young ladies, hear me now. God will be good to you. He'll bless you with some things. Behave yourself wisely. You'll be out on your own. You'll be out from dad's. See, Saul said, I don't want you to go back to Jesse's. Hear me now, young folks. God's going to put some people in your life, friends and acquaintances, and you'll be away from home, and you'll have a lot of decisions to make. I want you to notice what David did. Verse number 5 of chapter 18, the Bible says that David behaved himself wisely. Look, if you would, in verse 14. Verse 14 of chapter number 18. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Verse 15 says, wherefore when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. You look over in verse number 30 of chapter 18, and it says there in the latter part of it, David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. Learn what it is to behave yourself wisely. Think. Think before you act. Think before you speak. Realize that every action comes with a consequence attached to it. Amen? It's important. So what do you mean behave yourself wisely? Well, I want to give this and then I'll move on. I have 2 points and I'll be through for tonight. So I want you to get this, okay? David behaved himself wisely. Say, now, preacher, exactly what does that mean? Well, notice if you would with me, and I'll just point out a few of these, okay? Look in chapter 23 of 1 Samuel. I think this is a great way to behave yourself wisely. So what do? We've got a young married couple in the house. We've got some engaged folks in the house. Got some folks just getting started in life. Got some folks in their teenage years or latter teenage years, early 20s. You're embarking on adulthood, on the next phase and the next step in your life. It's just so important that you understand what it is to behave yourself wisely. I want to slow down right here and just talk to you from my heart, because I want God's very best for your life. I know your parents do, and I know God does. So, preacher, I've messed my life up. Well, you know, God specializes in making right the wrong. I don't know what you've done. I know this. I know that if you'll just come to God in humble faith, true repentance, and say, God, I want to serve you with all of my heart, God will use you in a great way. He'll use you. Or you can just say, well, you know what, I'm done, I've messed up, and there's no hope for me. And you'll just, listen, you'll just gravel around in the same old stuff, and you'll just kick over the same old campfires as you wander around in the wilderness in your journey, and you'll just be a woe is me. You don't want to live your life that way. Behave yourself wisely. How do you do that, preacher? Well, I think there's a key ingredient. See, David had a devotion life. Now, please listen to me. This is not just for the young folks. It's for all of us. Do you have a devotion life? David behaved himself wisely. David had a chapel in his soul. You have a chapel? You have a time you get along with God? I don't see how folks do it. I mean that when I say it. I don't say that hypocritically. I don't say that condescending. I don't see how folks do it. Man, this world we live in is crazy. It's mixed up. There's chaos all around us. I need my time to get along with God. Don't do it enough now. I don't want to try to make you think I'm elevated and I'm something that I'm not. I could do it more and I could do it, listen, longer. But I do have a chapel. I have a devotional life. I need to spend time in this book. I need to get some peace from God and some direction from the Lord. You do too. You have a devotion life. Say, preacher, I'm busy. Don't you ever get too busy to have a devotion life now. Don't you let busy take you away from God. What do you do when things are spiraling out of control? When things are chaotic? We're going to see what David did. See, David had a devotion life, and it never left him. He messed up. But can I tell you, his devotion life brought him back. It did. Look here in chapter 23. Look, if you would, in verse number 2. Therefore, chapter 23 of 1 Samuel, David inquired of the Lord, and he began to ask God, God, what about these Philistines? What about these enemies? What about these worldly people? God, what about the world? What about all this around me? God, I don't know. I'm just a young shepherd boy that was on the backside of a hill somewhere. I don't know what to do. God, life's big. I need some help. I can't do this without you, God. See, David, he remained humble through it all. He had a devotion life. He had a chapel in his soul. And he said, God, I'm asking you because I want to know what you want in my life. I don't want to do what I want to do. God, I want to do what you want me to do. See, maintain that in your life. That's behaving yourself wisely. It's thinking things through, getting leadership from God, and not just, you know, jumping on everything that looks like a dollar or everything that looks like a success. The devil has a lot of smoke screens out there, folks. Look, if you would, again in verse number 4. Then David, chapter 23, verse number 4. Then David inquired of the Lord yet again. Look at verse number 10. Then said David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant has certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me and up into his hand? What's he doing? He's inquiring. He's asking God. He's getting the mind of God on the matter. He's not just taking matters into his own hands and saying, you know what? I dropped a big giant. I'll take care of this big man too. He's no match for me. No, that's not the way David approached life. He had a devotion life. He understood that God could help him to remain focused and help him. Look, if you would, in verse number 11, right in the middle, he said, "O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee." You see that right in chapter 23, right in the middle of verse number 11? "O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant, and the Lord said, he will come down." What's David doing? He's getting knowledge. He's getting wisdom. He's getting information from God about life, about direction. So that's behaving yourself wisely, not just foolishly going after everything that looks like a success or fun or entertainment or money. It's just seeing what God has for you. We could go all the way. Listen, it's over and over again. And David inquired of the Lord. Behave yourself wisely. Let me give you this last point, and then we'll just end right here with the waiting experience, okay? So here's David waiting. He has not even become king yet. He was anointed, but he hasn't. Saul's still king. I think of all the experiences in David's waiting time, this is the one that impressed me the most. So I said, first of all, there was character. God built character in his life, and he did it with a handful of sheep. Be surprised what God can take to build character in our lives. We'll see if you'll be faithful with little things. And then two, there was courage. If you're going to mount anything in life, you're going to have some courage. You can't be running scared all the time. You've got to stand up to some things and stand up for some things. Right, brethren? You're going to have some backbone. Going to have some courage. But now let your strength be in the Lord. I'm not talking about in our flesh now. I hope you understand. I mean in the Lord. The Bible says, "Wait on the Lord, be strong and of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart." Wait, I say, on the Lord. So there was character, there was courage, there was the court of the king. God put him before very important people. Gave him a place right there. Built a friendship with the king's son. And then there was conduct. He behaved himself wisely. He inquired of the Lord. He got God's mind on the matter. He's waiting. And because God was building all this in his life, David was going to become king one day. God was putting him through this exercise to prepare him for the big moment in his life. Maybe God's doing that in your life. I don't know. Regardless of how young or how old you are, God may be working on you for a next big step in your life. You never know. Say, "Well, preacher, I'm too old for that to happen." You're never too old for God to use. You're never too old for God to use. You're never too young, by the way, either. Then there's this. This will be the final one. The caves. If you look at chapter 22, I think we all know. I think I counted right. Maybe somebody can help me out here. I counted 24 times. I didn't use a concordance, you know. Probably should have. I counted 24 times that Saul tried to kill David. In his waiting years. What was God doing? What kind of resolve do you have? What's it going to take to make you quit? God's not going to get you being doing anything real big now if you're going to quit the first time something goes wrong. Amen. What's it take to make you quit? Somebody say something hurt your feelings? You're going to quit? Something not go your way? We're not going to get a whole lot done in life for God, for church, for the kingdom, for business, for our family, if we quit every time something doesn't go our way. And so what God is doing here is here's King Saul. And I mean, King Saul meant business. He's ready to kill David. I mean, this is real. This is not just some, play going through an act. This is reality. And David fled. Look in chapter 22, verse 1. Therefore departed thence. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. There's the cave experiences. This was the final one. Some time ago, I don't know, it might have been about a month ago, Pastor David preached about as good a message as I've heard about this matter. About the experience of David, his love and his compassion and those things that David showed here when he was in these cave experiences in David's life. I look at these cave experiences and I see something that's really, really unique. We'll pick it up next week. Well, week after next. I see in Samuel, I see the outside experiences that David's going through. And then I turn over to the Psalms and I read a psalm of David when he was in the cave running from Saul. Or the psalm of David when he, you know, and it's the inside of what Samuel reveals to us on the outside. See, David doesn't tell us what's on his heart till he gets to the Psalms. And then he does. So he tells us what happened on the outside. There I was in the cave and the people came to me. That's the event. The Psalms opens up the emotion. What was David encountering during that time? I thank God for that. I thank God for that. I challenge you. Look at Psalm. I wrote them down here. This is just some of them. Psalm 51. We all know Psalm 51. So you read 2 Samuel chapter 11, and you'll find where David went into Bathsheba. But if you'll read Psalm 51, you'll find out some things that were going on outside of Psalm of 2 Samuel chapter 11. Amen? God will let you on the inside of a man's heart who messed up. You listening? Psalm 51, Psalm 52, Psalm 54, 56, 57, 59, 60, 142. Listen, you read these Psalms, it'll tell you what was going on inside of David's heart. Psalm 51, 52, 54, 56, 57 was in a cave, 59, 60, Psalm 142 was in a cave. Cave experiences. What did they do? They taught David a dependence. They did. I'm going to depend on the Lord. What do you mean, preacher? Because there were times he could have took Saul out. Said, I'm not going to do it. That's not my place. I believe some of the greatest lessons that we ever learn is when we're in that cave. God teaches us. Listen, it's a great thing to have a devotion life. But in a cave, God will teach you a dependent life where you depend on him. You listening? That's a great thing to learn in life. I'm still learning it. I depend on him, but not as much as I want to. Not as much as I should. How about you? The cave, we don't like the caves. We don't like them. But they're good for us. Taught David some very valuable lessons about depending on the Lord. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer.